We recently talked about a new streaming option, this one Disney Plus, on the show, and our many options for how to watch and consume TV shows. But on a deeper level, what do we get out of watching TV? What's in it for us? Is it an active hobby or a passive waste of time? It's a new age for TV content and a new age for TV watchers. We want to hear from you. What are your TV habits like? Call in at 800-642-1234. How much TV do you watch? Why do you enjoy it? Do you watch it live when it broadcasts, or do you stream things, binge watch? Do you watch with friends or family members? Do you consider it a hobby, or do you feel bad about how much TV you watch? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Regan Gurung is Executive Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and Professor of Psychological Sciences. He's joined us several times before as a professor back in the day at UW-Green Bay. Regan, good to have you back with us.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Great to be back.
Well, there's so much TV out there and so many ways to watch it, but there's been this ongoing debate, I think, since the first TV screen was flipped on. Is this bad for us? Is this something we should worry about, how much we watch TV?
You know, Rob, this is one of those classic cases of, is technology ruling us, or are we ruling technology? And, you know, whether the conversation is a smartphone or anything else, I think it starts with we have control, and the more we can empower ourselves to make better decisions, the better off we are. Now, I think the issue is that TV is getting more ubiquitous, and you see it everywhere. I mean, you know, recently you're filling up gas, and there's a TV screen there, you know, and I've caught myself watching for a few seconds and then going, you know what, I'd much rather look at the scenery than watch some more TV. So I think it's the big issue is, are we paying attention to how much we watch? And I think far too often, it's really easy to start watching something and not pay attention to what we're doing. So this is a classic case of how much are you doing, what else are you doing, versus a black and white, it's good and it's bad.
Right. And there's a lot of great TV out there. People keep talking about for years and years now, this being a golden age of TV with great shows and more things available for everyone. Is there a case to be made that, hey, this is a positive hobby, being into TV? Or it could be, you know, along the lines of if you're a film buff, you like going to the theater to see movies.
Well, you know, first off, I'm going to be a little crazy here and say, just because there is great TV, even if there's horrible TV, it can probably still serve a purpose. And I say that, because I think you got to look at why you're watching TV, right? I mean, sometimes there are many of us for whom TV is a coping mechanism. It is a opportunity to step into a different world and step away from our realities that may be stressful or, with outside our control. But with TV, we've got some control in terms of picking what we want to see, when we want to see it, and suddenly we can be launched into this wonderful world, getting the things that we may not be getting in our actual world. And I think, you know, there's a great book out there that was written in the context of video games called Reality is Broken. And I think a lot of the arguments there that for many of us, our realities are broken, that our realities are difficult, can apply here. And so I think, you know, if you could be using TV as a coping mechanism. You could be using TV as a way to vicariously do things that you couldn't be able to do. And especially right now with the variety of what's out there, you can learn to do a lot of things that you've always wanted to learn to do by watching some TV shows. I know my cooking skills have gone in many new directions because of some of the shows I've been watching.
There's a phenomenon people talk about on the internet a lot and in social media, the FOMO, fear of missing out. And I think that applies to TV. You hear about all the great shows that are out there. And I definitely feel this to the point where I've just given up. I stopped trying to even keep up with all the stuff out there. How do we cope with this sense that there's so much good stuff out there that it can be overwhelming?
You know, and I think this is where I think you're relying on friends and family and your network to give you some tips of what to do. I know one of the things my wife and I love to do is ask our friends what they're watching, because for the most part, our friends are people who share our interests, and therefore, for the most part, what our friends like, there's a good chance that we will like too. So I think that's, for me at least, and I think a nice rule of thumb is use those natural pre-selection mechanisms, your friends, see what they're watching, and very often they'll do your homework for you. And I think I see that with social media. I mean, I look at what a lot of my friends are talking about on social media as far as TV shows go, and more often than not, those are some really good hints of what I should try out as well.
Talking to Oregon State University psychology professor Regan Gruing about TV, our TV habits, the psychology of TV watching. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see TV as a positive, fun hobby, a waste of time, a little bit of both? Let's go to a caller now. Tim is with us in Portage. Tim, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's your story, Tim?
Well, I like coming home, watching some TV after work, and just kind of relaxing to it and not really making it all that big a thing. I play some video games. The kids, they come over. It's wintertime right now. So, I mean, the question of being whether it's too much or not. In the wintertime, I let them watch what they want to watch. You know, I try to keep it simple and everything, and I try to do that for myself. But in the summertime, let's get outside, let's go do some things, and just, you know, be active and not be such the big couch potato all the time.
That sounds pretty healthy. Tim, I want to ask you, Tim, before we let you go, how do you watch TV today? Do you turn on a channel on cable or whatever and watch whatever's on? Do you pick something and stream it? What do you and your family do?
Well, we use the Xbox a lot to watch streaming television. I'm not a big commercial person, so we sit and pick something that we all like to watch on Netflix or Hulu or something like that, and we just stream episodes. It's kind of more like binge-watching stuff.
Tim, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Regan, Tim gave us a lot to work with there. And I want to talk about that thing he was talking about there at the end. It's not just him watching. He and the family are watching it together. Does watching TV mean something if, you know, I'm holding a screen to my face versus I'm doing it with friends or family?
Well, absolutely. And I think it's how we watch TV when we're watching it with the family that can make a big difference. I think, you know, when you think about, I mean, and you're absolutely right, Tim hit about at least three or four really cool things about TV here. But let's start with the family one. And I think, you know, what are you doing when you're watching TV with the family? It's a great opportunity to talk about things. And how you watch makes a difference, too. I mean, I know recently my family watched through the whole PBS Sherlock Holmes series with the kids there. And it was a great opportunity to do something different with family time, but also an opportunity to talk about, you know, different real-world things that they were seeing that we could talk about, and especially with family. And I think the note about kids is key. It's a lot easier for adults, a lot easier, not always easy, but a lot easier for adults to have control about how, when to stop and when not to. But for a lot of kids, it is, you know, they put it on and it's very hard to control. So especially when you're watching TV with your kids, you can really model good TV watching behavior. One other thing I do want to say is Tim mentioned the coming home and watching it, or I think we are all very conditioned to do certain things at certain times. Mm-hmm. And once we get used to it, it can be this relaxing kind of thing. You come home and you spend a little time, you know, doing something relaxing, and TV can be a good part of that as long as there's a lot of different things going on, which, of course, Tim also mentioned.
Thanks a lot for that call, Tim. And Regan, that also makes me think sometimes when I watch a TV or a movie for that matter, I want something deep and engaging that makes me think. And it's something, I want something stupid that's going to shut my brain off for a while. Is that okay? Is there a value to that?
And, you know, that's why I said the great shows don't have to be great shows. If it's something that keeps your interest, that may be exactly what the doctor ordered.
We continue our conversation with Regan Gruing. He's a professor of psychological sciences at Oregon State. We're talking about our TV viewing habits and what they say about us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Has your TV time gone up or down since the start of streaming services? Do you still enjoy it? Do you think you should watch less? What do you like about watching TV? Does it count as a hobby if you are into TV, and do you watch it alone or together with friends or family? Call 800-642-1234. And how do you set rules for what kids watch? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to your calls now. Amanda is with us in Stevens Point. Amanda, hi.
Hi. The comment that I have is that I sometimes, when I'm missing people, I find myself trying to find something that reminds me of them. Specifically, my dad passed away last year, and I find that, you know, watching shows that he would watch, mostly police or crime dramas, like CSI or Law and Order especially, it brings him back. I moved away from my parents about a decade ago, and I was doing that when I was missing him then, and I do it now more because, you know, I miss him so much.
Oh, Amanda, thank you so much for sharing that story. I really appreciate it. Regan, this way of connecting, in this case, with a lost loved one.
Yeah, you know, and very often, when especially when we're younger, and we talked about watching TV with kids, very often when we're younger, and if we get really used to watching TV with a certain person or with certain people, automatically we tend to associate those shows with the people and sometimes those people with the shows. And I think that link, especially if we do it very often, even later on when those people are no longer there, watching those same shows automatically, because of conditioned responses, bring back some of those memories. And, you know, just like Amanda, you know, when Amanda was telling us about, you know, her dad, I was thinking about watching TV shows with my grandmother, who's been dead some years now. And I just think about all those TV shows, and when some of them pop on TV, I actually feel myself having all these positive feelings about my grandmother, and it's some great point for recollection. So I think sometimes those events, especially TV, especially if it's a Sunday football game, those may be some of the few times that in this busy world people can actually get together. So it's not surprising, I think, that we make those linkages, and that those linkages later on can serve a very, you know, good purpose.
Amanda, thanks again for sharing that story at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Barbara with us in Fenimore. Barbara, hi.
Hi.
Hi, what'd you want to tell us about, Barbara?
Well, I do like to watch TV, but we only have Netflix now and a channel that comes with our smart TV. And the cable is so expensive that we don't have that. But we watch a series. No, we'll find a series that we like, and we'll watch that every night for like an hour in the evening. And the only thing we stream are the football games, because we got to have our Packers. But or otherwise, I just have the TV on like when I do housework and just have a background noise.
And Barbara, that sounds really disciplined. You really hold yourself to 1 hour or one episode a night. You don't ever get tempted to cheat?
Well, you know, if we do, then we did it with one series, and then it just ended so quickly. So we try to keep it to one series a night.
I love it. Barbara, thank you so much for sharing that. Regan, the battle between, you know, one episode a night like Barbara does, or binge watch and get it done.
Well, I think, interestingly enough, Barbara has a built-in strategy that helps, which is not necessarily having many channels or network opportunities. And I think right there is something to build on. Most shows nowadays, you can get them, you know, in the complete set from your local library. And one of my favorite tricks that really helps me make sure I don't, you know, that it's easier to not binge watch is pick the shows that I really like once their complete season is done from the library, and that way I can have a lot more control over turning things on and off, or when I can have things. But the trick is, if you find yourself very easily going from one episode into the next episode, or switching with all the many options you have, you really need to build in some ways to stop that happening, because what we know from psychology is that the more variety we have, the more we can dive into it and the more we'll consume. And this is the case with food, but it's also the case with TV watching. If you have many options, the likelihood that you will find yourself going in for a lot more of them increases dramatically.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking about the psychology of our TV watching habits with Regan Gruing from Oregon State University. Back to your calls. Anita is with us in Lindenhurst, Illinois. Anita, hi.
Hi. We don't have cable either. We have two antennas on our roof, Milwaukee and Chicago, and we get 36 channels.
Wow.
I just put that out there. But at any rate, so we have a computer hooked up to the TV. We program once a week all the programs we want to see. But lately, I've been really grateful that we've been doing that, because when we watch the impeachment hearings, then the next thing I'm going to watch is going to be something like The Conners, something that's really funny, or maybe something really, really delightful on PBS. Got to strike a balance.
Anita, thank you so much. I kind of feel the same way sometimes in my line of work. Regan, the idea of, you know, balancing out the heavy reality sometimes.
Well, I think it's balancing out the heavy reality, but, you know, especially in Anita's case, when she mentioned all the access that she has, for those individuals who don't, who, you know, watch what they're doing or find it hard to, a really key question, I think, to ask ourselves is, if you find yourself watching a lot of TV, you got to ask yourself the question, what else is it keeping you from doing? And I think sometimes when we ask that question, the answer, you know, may be sort of surprising, where we find out that, oh boy, you know what, we really haven't been doing too many different things. So, you know, watching it as a coping mechanism, as a nice comic break from the scary things and the harsh political realities of the world today, that's great. But I think that it's very easy, because that can be so rewarding, that if we don't watch it, we can just keep going for that reward and then miss out on doing a lot of other things that could help as well.
Thanks a lot for that call. Laura joins us next in Antioch, Illinois. Laura, hello.
Hi. Yeah, I was actually calling because I had an interesting thought when you brought this up. I was thinking I pretty much exclusively stream off of my smart tablet or my smartphone, which are really small screens, and it makes it possible to watch anything I want anytime. So I find myself now taking them to the gym with me, and I'll be actually exercising more than I would have with how I just.
Laura's breaking up there, but she was talking about bringing that tablet or smart screen to her gym with her. We'll just touch on that point, Laura. Or I mean, Regan, Laura, yeah. Saying that TV can make, I was talking about this on the show earlier, the exercise a little more fun.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, there was an interesting study that was done on TV watching that directly relates to this, which is when people watch TV, their metabolic rate actually drops below even when they're at rest. So think about that. I mean, here you are resting, and now you are rest, and many of us think of watching TV as rest, but somehow that act of watching TV drops your metabolic rate even more. So if we are just sitting down on a couch watching TV, our metabolic rate is dropping, and in that same study, it was more related to chances for obesity or gaining weight. So taking it to the gym, or even, you know, walking, you know, with headphones on, I mean, not, you know, watching it, of course, but listening to things, or being on a treadmill or something like that and getting your favorite shows, that's a really good way to go. And I know many of my colleagues fit in their TV watching guilty pleasures while exercising, and doesn't feel, you know, not too much to be guilty about.
Now, Regan, how about that person who's listening and says, okay, yeah, maybe I do watch too much TV and I'm missing out on other, maybe better stuff. What's your advice to them to try to shift that time a little?
Well, I think, you know, even if you haven't even asked yourself the question, are you missing out on other things, a really good thing to start off with is taking a look at how much TV you do watch. Because often when we don't pay attention, when we don't self-monitor, we miss things. And a first step would be, just for 1 week, take a look at how much TV you watch, and take a look at what else you're doing. A week later, look at that list, and it should probably tell you straight away whether there's something that you need to do or not. But I think self-monitoring and self-observation, very consciously is the first and most important step. Because, you know, just watching TV by itself is not neither good nor bad. It's how much are we watching? What else are we not doing? That becomes the more critical issue.
And just in a few moments, all that said, Regan, what are you into watching these days?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, right now, these days, with the end of the semester, there's lots of grades to be entered, so
uh-oh,
not too much TV at all. But looking forward to watching a lot. And you know, you mentioned Disney Plus. Extremely intrigued by the new Star Wars, The Mandalorian. So that is the next time I have some TV watching time. That is what I'm going to try and get my hands on.
Well, say hi to Baby Yoda for me, Regan. Thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot.
That's Regan Gruing, Executive Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and Professor there of Psychological Sciences. He joined us to talk about our TV habits, how they've changed, what that might mean for our well-being. You can still share your thoughts and experiences on the Ideas Network Facebook page.